Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Not to sound like I'm making excuses, but yesterday, but I'm about to. Somehow it feels,
I know how this goes.
Somehow feels better to say that. But yesterday, Al Michaels was on our show, and he said how it's easier to remember things from 50 years ago than something, the last five or something like that, which I completely relate to. This, it's also, I'm making an excuse by saying I feel like that's everybody, but I don't know if it's everybody, but I'm definitely this, where when we were talking about how often the Dolphins have worn their aqua jerseys in Buffalo, I'm like, oh, well, let's see, 1980, and that's maybe there's a Monday night game in 81, that's it. Listeners like 2021, 2014, and 2012. Don't forget to add those to the list. Okay. Like, oh, the Bills played the Dolphins in 2014? I don't know. Was I there?
They were still in the same division then? That was okay.
Just like, yeah. So it has happened more recently than the 80s. There you go. With us now on the Westher Hotline, Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN, formerly covered the Bills as well. Marcel, I have not had the pleasure of speaking to you before, so it's nice to be able to do that, and thanks for your time today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm honestly, right now, I'm walking outside. It's about, what, 73 degrees out here in Buffalo. The weather is spectacular. Like, this is a beautiful little homecoming.
Did you find a place to watch Chelsea?
I did. I'm right outside of, was it the Banshee Irish Pub?
Yep, all right.
Okay.
Yep. This did not exist when I left here. I asked them, actually. They said they opened in like November of 21, and I left 3 months before that.
Yeah, I saw you put the question out there on Twitter, and I saw the mentions, and the two places I would have told you to go were both mentioned. I thought, like, you're probably good if you follow that advice.
Yeah, enough people said bench. Although I will say this, somebody told me this place was like Stamford Bridge West, like Chelsea's home stadium West. I pull up and the two flags outside are Spurs and Liverpool. So I thought, yeah, I got duped for a second.
Yeah. I feel like Buffalo, well, I'm probably wrong here, but Buffalo soccer bars are like, you see fans from every team in there. Like, I've been there and to another one. They might represent as a certain team's place, but like Sneaky Joe have been to this place Marcel's at to watch. He's a Liverpool guy. And there were a bunch of fans of that team. So yeah, I don't know if we're enough. I don't know if we're enough to have like a bar for every EPL team.
Right.
That's probably fair. But like, I feel like this would be a pretty cool city, be a pretty great spot to be a soccer fan in. I wish I was watching soccer when I still lived here. Could have had some great times.
Yeah, right. So Marcel, this rivalry has been so one-sided, and I'm not sure there's been a game where the spread was this big as this one tomorrow night, 12.5. How much life do you think the Dolphins have for this?
It's tough to say because conventional wisdom, history over the past, we'll call it 5-6 years, tells us that, especially in Buffalo, this game is probably going to go the Bills' way. At this point, though, you hate to say this in week 3, but this is a must-win for Miami. You lose this game, that's 2 division games in 5 days that you're dropping, and you've got another one against the Jets in week 4. I think they're going to come out with some fight, but ultimately, man, since I've been on this beat, I have not seen anything that suggests they know how to stop Josh Allen. And somehow that man looks even better than he did in his MVP season. So I've got the Bills winning this one, and there's going to be some tough conversations in Miami over the next 10 days after.
Yeah. Do you think, how likely do you think it is that McDaniel could be walking the plank if this doesn't go? I guess if it's ghastly, like if the Bills do to the Dolphins what they did to the Jets on Sunday, do you think after just 3 games, McDaniel? Because there's been don't know, there's been sparks and smoke all around that all off season. A lot of people were predicting the demise of him and this team this year. First coach fired, all that kind of stuff. Like, could you see Stephen Ross taking him out back after three games?
Yeah. I mean, so this is my understanding of how Mike's job security lies. If Stephen Ross no longer believes in the process, then this tenure is done. It's not necessarily results driven, although of course there's going to be a limit. There's going to be a point where the results really, really matter. But if he believes in the process, I think he allows him to see it through until it gets to a point where the situation is untenable. But that's where you say, if the Bills do what they did to the Jets, if there's no fight in this team, especially on a short week, then, yeah, I think it's very possible, especially, like I said before, there's an 11-day stretch between this Week 3 game and their Week 4 game. If you're going to install an interim coach, that's an ideal amount of time. But I don't think it's just as simple as, like, oh, if they lose, then he's out. I think, respectfully, a loss in Buffalo is kind of, like, factored in to your season projection. So, like, if you come up here and fight and you still lose, like, I don't think that's necessarily – a coup de grace there. I don't think that's the death blow. But if they come out here and they're lifeless, they don't show fight, they quit, they're bickering on the sideline, da-da-da-da, then, yeah, it is unfortunately possible. And I really do hate to say this. I have not in my career been in a situation where a coach is a legitimate candidate to be fired. I don't like saying this. I like Mike McDaniel as a person. I respect Mike McDaniel. But from just a business and football standpoint, it's been a steady decline now for the past full calendar year.
If it matters, the Week 4 game is also in prime time at home against the Jets. Yeah. So all the eyeballs will be on that one too with Marcel Louis-Jacques. Well, if I may, I want to probe a little bit about the process. I see McDaniel from afar. I've been a fan too. But man, the vibes are pretty sad right now. Like, he is coming up with, I don't know, non-answers isn't new for a coach, but he sounds a little bit, you know, in the weeds at these press conferences. And listening to Tua today talk about Josh Allen, for what it's worth, appreciate the honesty. He's like, yeah, he's twice the runner I am and can throw it farther, to boil it down. So I don't know, Marcel, like, it feels like the Dolphins may know their fate. That's how they sound.
It doesn't sound great, although I think that from my perspective, like, he's self-aware. He's more self-aware than I think he gets credit for. I think he knows that the sarcasm, the dry humor, the jokes, the disarming things that he does, during press conferences that are naturally, you know, uncomfortable for him, that's not really going to fly in this situation. So, like, there's been maybe one or two jokes where I could tell he just, like, simply couldn't help himself, like the fruit was hanging too low that he had to take it. But, like, it's been a very serious demeanor for him over the past couple of weeks. And I think something that I don't know how much it's been publicized to the point where I don't know if y'all are noticing it up here, but something that I'm noticing down in Miami is his willingness to call out his team captains. And I have a story that's more or less detailing this coming out tomorrow on ESPN.com, but after week one, he tells us, you know, yes, some guys were abandoning their assignments in search of making a play. For example, he says Zach Sealer was a guy who abandoned his pass rush lane trying to sack the quarterback, and it led to an explosive play for the Colts. That is not something we have heard him do over his first three-year tenure here. He has been, you know, reluctant, if not hesitant, to call out star players, captains, leaders on this team publicly. And so for him to do that and also say, you know, Tua's play left something to be desired, like, I can tell, like, there are changes within him to where I don't know if it is him either tightening up or, you know, clenching up. One of them sounds a little better than the other, but I think in either scenario, he realizes how serious the situation is right now.
Interesting perspective. Yeah, I'm not somebody who ever needs the Dolphins to win games, but I kind of loved the, you know, the 70-point Mike McDaniel, you know, like, so how do you feel about leading the league in points and all this? And he sort of tilted his head and said, mission accomplished? after three games, which was just so good, you know. But you're absolutely right. You can't. He can't sound like that right now, and he knows it. I guess at least.
Nah, the comedic timing has always been brilliant. But I mean, there was a point where this week he was asked, like, okay, at what point did you realize how big of a rivalry Bills Dolphins is? And he said, with one finger. And of course, talking about Brian Cox Sr.'s, you know, flipping off the Bills fans. So he's like, with one finger. And like, he was serious when he said it. And there was some confusion among the younger people on the beat. Myself not included, by the way.
Good job.
There was some confusion, and he just made kind of a little joke, like, you mean that you guys aren't all older than me? And just kind of one of those where it's like he can't help himself but to stay a little bit jovial and stay light. But the sarcasm, the constant dry humor, that has been cut down pretty dramatically
right
over the past couple of weeks.
Marcel, what are you getting from the players? Because anytime a coach or any person in a position of power within a sports organization tries to change how they go about it, right? Especially if it's from sort of laid back, yeah, let's just hash it out, you know, chop it up, kind of that vibe, to trying to be more discipline oriented and just sort of pull the reins back. Like, that can be very hard. What kind of vibe are you getting from the players about their coach and how different he may appear to them?
Well, that's the funny thing, and I'm I guess sprinkling a little bit more from the story coming out tomorrow. From what I'm told, from what I understand from current and former players, from just team sources, the culture itself really hasn't changed that much. It has been the same since 2022, good and bad. So when we hear the stories coming out last offseason of, like, okay, Tyreek Hill is late in missing meetings, Jalen Ramsey is late, five players have accumulated 50% of the team's, you know, late fines. Like, that hasn't changed since Mike got here. The difference is just they were winning games versus they were losing games. The team didn't overall quit on him. Like, the culture didn't collapse. They did still – they went from 2-6 to 8-9, which I know still missed the playoffs, and it's not like this – world-beating record, but if you're 2-6 with a bad culture, like a truly bad culture, the wheels are going to fall off completely. Both of these franchises, Miami and Buffalo, I've seen what it looks like when the wheels fall off. Last season wasn't necessarily it. I spoke with a former player. He spent a couple of years with Mike. He said the problem is not the culture. The problem is schematic. The problem is the league is caught up for what he wants to do, and these offenses have become predictable. They're figuring out how to beat Tua. I mean, we've heard now two opponents in back-to-back weeks lay out their game plan. The Colts said, like, we knew if we took his first read away, he was going to panic. So they blitzed. They took his first read away, and, yeah, he panicked. New England said we wanted to muddy the middle of the field and make him go outside of the numbers, which, you know, he did successfully to an extent, but when the game was on the line, he couldn't do it. Like, everything fell apart. So, like, we're seeing teams that aren't known for having stalwart defenses almost dancing on the grave after they beat the Dolphins, saying, yeah, we figured this out. This is no problem. That's more of an issue, I think, than the actual culture itself.
Interesting. Again, Marcel Louis-Jacques with us here on WGR, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Part of their offseason story, Marcel, was the secondary just taking hit after hit. And I'm seeing after 2 weeks, not only are they just so injury ravaged back there, but their pass rush win rate is last in the league after 2 weeks. They have four sacks, but somehow, like, they're not winning up front either, at least by the numbers. What is possible on defense? You mentioned Allen already. He's just had great game after great game against this team. It might look now like roster-wise, it's sort of easier than ever for him to pull off a game like that. You never know. Are they going to be able? We're talking about culture. We're talking about, you know, offensive schemes. What are they capable of on defense?
That's really the part that, if I'm going to survey the beat and speak for the beat down in Miami, that's where we're the most surprised, because I think we all had our skepticisms about the secondary, but we all believed, okay, Storm Duck can at least hold his own. I'm not saying he's going to be Prime Revis, but we thought he could hold his own. And you've got an opportunistic guy in Jack Jones on the other side. Minka Fitzpatrick at safety. Like, the secondary is going to be just fine, but the front seven looked special. Brooks and Dotson, you know, all summer looked like they were a great tandem at linebacker. Of course, you got the pass rush trio, Chop, Jalen, and Bradley Chubb, Zach Sealer, back-to-back 10 sack seasons. Like, there's pieces, to borrow a line from Sean McDermott. Like, there's players on this roster. Like, we thought that it was going to be a lot better than this. And simply put, that really hasn't been the case. And while Josh Allen is probably going to go nuts because the Dolphins are looking like, especially from a fantasy perspective, like, they're looking like you have to start the quarterback that's playing the Dolphins. Daniel Jones and Drake May both had huge games. Yep. And they are, it's like a Pokemon evolution leading up to Josh Allen, right? Like, if Drake May is Charmander and Daniel Jones.
Charizard.
You know what I'm saying?
Is there a Charizard? Is there a Charizard coming
no,
here?
I'm 60 years old. No, my kids are 23 and 21. I have no idea what you're saying.
Charmeleon, Charizander. Yes, you were saying.
It's going to be a real specific group of listeners that are like, wow, he's spitting. I get to my core.
That's so funny.
But you know what I'm trying to say. Like, yes, they're about to face an even better version, the best possible version of the guys they've just played. It doesn't look great. And then not to mention, I think James Cook might have a million yards on Thursday, man, if they're not careful. Jonathan Taylor had 90 and three quarters. Ramondre Stevenson had like 140. So, like, James Cook, again, is better than Stevenson. He's at the very least comparable to Jonathan Taylor. Like, it's not looking like a great matchup based on how they've played. That 12.5-point spread is just, usually you're going to say that's disrespectful in the NFL. But, man, at least on paper, your knee-jerk reaction is, yeah, this is going to be a blowout. And I've been fighting my knee-jerk reactions with this team all summer. It might be time to fall victim to them. It might be time to believe it. And my knee-jerk reaction is that this one might get ugly if the Dolphins start out flat again.
In my defense, I host a fantasy podcast every Tuesday called ADP Chasing, and one of our guys, Davis Maddock, will every week bust into Pokemon, and I'm the oldest guy in the room, and I react the same. We're like, oh no, here it comes. And so I just sort of, that was a knee-jerk reaction of mine, I have to admit. Right. It's when you started there, like, oh no, I mean, it's fun, it's fine, it's good. It's just like, I'm sort of like, I get that a lot and just never know what to do with it.
Yeah. Marcel, before we have to wrap this up, how is that? I mean, I know, you know, they're 0-2, and we're spending this whole conversation talking about maybe the demise of, you know, the entire operation, you know, to a start over standpoint. Where is Tyreek Hill at? Like, what has been said? How has he played? Has he been sort of in line, or is he like a pot about to blow the lid off?
I talked to Tyreek Hill. You know, I went up to him in the locker room the other day because he's one of the players that multiple sources told me was a prime and repeat offender last year in terms of tardiness and absence. And he didn't deny that. But what he did say is, you know, when I'm here, this is, first of all, I've been doing this since Kansas City. When I'm here, I work my you-know-what off. And I want to be here still. I haven't been late. I haven't missed any meetings this year. Like, he is, by all accounts, bought in since literally pulling himself from the game in week 18 of last season. I do not get the sense that this team wants to trade him. He has been, you know, week one was bad for everybody, but he was pretty solid in week two, and he could have had an even bigger game if not for the, you know, underthrow, as Tua even admitted, on that 47-yard completion. And then, you know, they missed pretty bad on the penultimate drive as well. It's not 109 yards. Like, he's still Tyreek Hill at the end of the day. If, you know, the wheels do fall off, if there's a coaching change and, you know, maybe Tua gets hurt or Tua just plays poorly, yeah, I think there's probably a world in which that's your probably biggest trade asset. They can get something back for him if you want to start over and push a little soft or hard reset. But as of right now, as of September 17th, Tyreek Hill is going to be a Miami Dolphin until things drastically change.
Well, good luck. Is Chelsea on the pitch as we speak? We've got two soccer games on in here, and neither one of them is Chelsea.
Unfortunately, I just got the update as I pulled my phone out, and it looks like Bayern just scored, so I need to go in there and console my fellow my fellow Chelsea fans.
Looks like we're on our way to being a soccer bar, Bulldog. Like, we've got two TVs on, and they're both different Champions League games. Maybe this should be the hangout.
Right.
Thank you very much.
It's the best time of year, man.
It is. For a lot of reasons, sports-wise and the weather. Thank you, Marcel. Great to talk to you.
As always, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN. And he's got an article he mentioned a couple times there coming out tomorrow. I should know how to speak Pokemon from all these weeks with Davis. There's a progression. There's the guy, and then there's the guy who's better than the guy, and then the guy who's better than that.
That's where he was laying out there. Yeah, yes. I have no. I'm
char broiled. I don't char.
I'm a decade removed from any of that, and I never really invested. I mean, I saw the stuff in the house, but I never knew anything at all. I mean,
it's a problem for me.
Just completely foreign to me.
Apparently, along the way, all these years, we should have been studying stuff like that. Here I am last night watching an episode of The Joker's Wild.
That seems like time well spent.
I know. I had to finish my wine. I've got the dog, you know, we're just watching. I'm Jack Barry. I mean, I could have been reading up on Pokemon. It should have been. Do the job. I mean, already. When is that game show going to come in handy? Never.
Well, you did just mention it. I mean, I don't know. It was a small piece of content.
I'm just, eyes are closed. I'm just punching at the wind blindly here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Are the Dolphins ready to fold? Or are we in for a surprise tomorrow? We'll look for your calls next. Sal joins us at 5. This is WGR.